Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Someone has said there is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole when bombs are falling. When a person has a child or loved one who is sick unto death, they will generally pray after a fashion. Just about any time that a person finds himself in the right jam, they will cry out to God. This is proof of that which Paul said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Men cannot escape the facts concerning his eternal power and Godhead, even though they secretly despise his way. Therefore Paul goes on to say in that same verse, so that they are without excuse. The very inclination of men to ask God for assistance in times of great trouble bears witness against them in the day of judgment. This natural tendency to call upon the Lord for help is very often mistaken for what the Scripture speaks of as true prayer. The flesh will gladly embrace the concept of natural praying, since it is in a measure a universal language which is practiced in all of the religions of the flesh. It serves the flesh and salves the conscience. It is very much ingrained in the natural man, who is certain that he can converse with God whenever he feels like it or needs something. Scientific and statistical studies have been done to determine if people who believe in prayer recover from diseases more readily than those who are skeptics. Just like the power of positive thinking and other psychological exercises, what men call prayer has some calming and useful influence, in the same sense that singing a lullaby to a baby helps him to sleep. Yet all of this has little or nothing at all to do with the praying which the sons of God are exhorted to engage in. The praying of the flesh is primarily concerned with its own self and the benefits which it can derive from what it believes is a means whereby to influence God to grant its wishes in much the same way as Aladdin rubbed his lamp to get the genie to come out. True prayer is that which is prompted in a man by the Holy Ghost. It cannot be turned on and off according to his own will, but is the operation of the Spirit as he works in him both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. True prayer is that which is primarily concerned with the glory of God, rather than the fulfillment of one's wishes. When the Lord gave his disciples his model prayer, it began with a sense of worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It also ended with the same, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. True prayer is essentially worship. True prayer is that which is according to the will of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The flesh will pray according to its own will. But the Spirit of God will use prayer to cause his children to be reconciled to the will of God. True prayer is the work of the Holy Ghost in the sons of God, to bring them to a state of contentment and trust in him. The man who does not pray cannot trust the Lord, and vice versa. That man who is taught to trust the Lord cannot help but pray. True prayer is that which is used by the Holy Ghost to convince men of their own weakness and total dependence on him. For it is in the presence of the Lord that they are convinced of their utter unrighteousness and of his absolute holiness. Even as the publican prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord brings men to this place in prayer and gives them the gift of faith. True prayer is the place where faith is applied. True prayer is never demonstrated any more clearly than when the Lord Jesus poured out his soul in Gethsemane's garden. Never has a more earnest prayer been made. Never has a man been brought more perfectly to be reconciled to the will of his Father. Never has the weakness of the flesh been demonstrated more clearly than here. He who determined to redeem his bride did not shrink from it. Even as he wrestled with the desire to please his Father, and yet only being able to do so by becoming sin and being forsaken by his Father, surely the sorrows of hell got hold of him. Yet he prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He was determined to be the author and finisher of our faith, and by his own sacrifice to bring many sons unto glory. Have you seen the glory of this Savior?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.